Welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less using systems. And I'm your host, Josh Fonger. And today we have a special guest. We've got Bradley Benner with Semantic Mastery. And we're going to be going over how you can improve your digital marketing. But before we do, I need to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Trainual. If you want to get your business out of your brain into documentation, which is what we're all about here at Work the System, and go to my friends at workthesystem.com/trainual. That's T-R-A-I-N-U-A-L. And they've got amazing software to help you organize your processes, procedures, documentation. Again, workthesystem.com/trainual. All right, Bradley, let me give you the proper introduction. Bradley is the co-founder of Semantic Mastery. It's an online SEO and semantic web training and education site. Bradley has taken the role of the instructor and coach amongst his other business partners. With a combined 30 plus years of experience, Semantic Mastery consistently delivers proven real world results oriented training and business development tools to help marketers and business owners succeed. All right, Bradley, welcome to the show. Why don't you give us a little bit of introduction about how you got into this line of work?
Well, thanks for having me, Josh. I appreciate it. As I told you prior to us starting this, I'm actually really excited about being here because, and I'll get to this part in a minute, but the Work the System book was one of the most transformative things in my business. And I'll get to that in a minute because I think it's a really interesting story. But I got into this line of work. I was coming out of a technical background. I was a contractor, an electrical contractor. And in 2009 timeframe, I was running my own electrical contracting business, and I wanted to figure out a way to generate more leads for my business. So at the time, I wasn't doing any sort of digital marketing or any sort of online marketing for that matter. And I was really just doing traditional stuff, and I was kind of looking for more work. And I started to try to figure out a way to, like, how could I generate more leads for my business? And I realized at that time, I barely knew how to turn on a computer in 2009, but I found out that that's where everything was going, right? It was going online. So I started looking at how to generate leads from the internet. And I've kind of backed into or discovered SEO or search engine optimization. Google was becoming, if it hadn't already been the big kid on the block, it was becoming it. And so I decided to learn how to manipulate Google essentially, and how to get a website to show up for the search terms that would, you know, people would be using to find electrical contractors or to do electrical work. And so, you know, I didn't really have the money to hire a marketing agency at the time. So I figured I'd learn how to do it on my own. And what was funny is I ended up discovering that I really had a passion for it. I became, you know, almost obsessed with, I was just fascinated with how to manipulate Google and that there was a way to do that. So I started building, you know, my own website for leads, but in order to practice on multiple different web properties, I started building other websites for other contractors that I knew from being in the trades industry. So, and what I would do was experiment different methods and things like that to find out what would work. And the sites that I was able to rank, I was, you know, essentially I would do what's called the rank and rent method. I would get websites in Google Maps listings to rank, and then for, you know, chosen keywords. And then once they would start generating leads, I would call contractors and rent them or lease the asset to them or just sell them leads on a pay-per-lead basis. And so the first couple of years of my business from 2009, well, it was really 2010 before I started getting results till 2012, I really built up a portfolio of my own digital assets that I owned and controlled. That were basically web properties, mainly contractor type properties that were generating leads. And I was, like I said, leasing them or selling the leads on a pay-per-lead basis. So I had a lead generation business. I hadn't started doing any client work until about 2012. And here's why. I live in Virginia. Most of the contractors that I had been selling leads to are in Virginia. And we have a pretty significant winter season. It's short, but it's pretty significant. And so typically a lot of construction type work slows down naturally during the winter. So the money that I had generated from my lead generation business would slow down in the winter months. And I was still doing electrical work at the time too, but I was going more towards doing just marketing. And so in around March of 2012, I had built up enough of a portfolio of sites to show that I knew what I was doing that I decided to open up an agency so that I could build a more stable, reliable monthly retainer type income from clients and offer my expertise as a, you know, search engine optimization knowledge to other business owners, not just in the lead generation capacity and also not just for contractors, but to a broader business audience as well. Mm-hmm. And so in March of 2012, I opened up Big Bamboo Marketing and I went full time. I quit my job as an electrical contractor. Wow. I found out that I enjoyed the digital marketing better. I could do it from home instead of having to, you know, and I could make more money than crawling up and down ladders, pulling wire. So in 2012, I opened my agency and I started offering search engine optimization services, which morphed into more than just SEO, but content marketing, video marketing, a lot of different types of digital marketing services. And in 2000, so that was in 2012. And by 2013, I had reached capacity to where, because I was a one-man show and I couldn't do any more work. Like I couldn't take on any more clients. I was making really good money, don't get me wrong, but I was at work like 12 to 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I loved what I did, but it was to the point where I literally had reached a ceiling that I could not get past because it was all me. And I felt like nobody could do what I could do as good as I could, right? And I think a lot of entrepreneurs feel that way. But what was interesting was I had joined a mastermind group with a kind of a high-level mastermind with other digital marketers. And we would meet. It was a once-a-month webinar with the members of the mastermind and somebody that kind of led the group. And I wanted to meet on a more consistent basis. So I started a hangout, a Google Hangout video conference, essentially, on a weekly basis as an accountability group, and invited people to come join me, where we would just meet and discuss what was working in our own digital marketing agencies, you know, what was working, what wasn't, things that got results, things that failed. So we talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it was just to help keep each other accountable and to help each other learn from all of each other's mistakes. And what was funny was within a few weeks, we had developed quite a bit of an audience, that me and about four others that were constantly sharing on these webinars or these accountability meetings. We were sharing what was working for our agencies while most other people just came and would consume the information. They would watch or listen, but they wouldn't really contribute. And we found out that we had, as a small group, probably we were sharing more information than the high-level mastermind that we were paying a lot of money to be a part of. So we decided to create our own business out of it. It dawned on us after several months, really, that we were onto something. We could charge for this information. And so we started the company in 2013 called Semantic Mastery, which is who I'm here representing today. So by that point, like I said, I was still saturated with my own agency and I still was doing everything on my own. Well, one of the things that I did was there was another high-level group, digital marketing coaching group that, you know, an information product developer that I really respected. And they had in Scottsdale, Arizona, they had a yearly live event that people could come to. And it cost $20,000 to go to this live event for a weekend to get training on the most cutting edge and advanced search engine optimization techniques and things like that. And so in 2013, I signed up to go to that. Well, I went on Amazon Kindle and worked the system for $9. And I read half of it on the flight because I live in Virginia. So I read half of it on the flight to Scottsdale, Arizona for this $20,000 event. And I finished the other half of the book on the way back from this $20,000 event. And I applied the work the system to my business immediately, the principles of starting to develop standard operating procedures or working procedures, you know. And within 3 months, I hired my first two virtual assistants because I had processitized or systematized a lot of my operations. And I, at that point, was really able to start relieving some of the burden of being, you know, doing everything myself. I started delegating and my business really started to scale at that point. And so that $9 Kindle book, Work the System, was more transformative to my business. And I always think this is so funny than the $20,000 event that I went to. So that's why when I found out that I was coming on the show, I was so excited because it was such a big deal to me to learn how to delegate work and to realize that, you know, even if I didn't think anybody could do what I could do as well as I could, that's not true. I just have to document how I do it. That's pretty much it.
Wow.
And so once I came back and I it was funny, but I had spent, because like I said, I was working at least 12 hours a day, about 7 days a week to be able to fulfill the work for my clients. I didn't really know how I was going to develop the working procedures because I didn't really have the time to do it. I still had to fulfill work. So I ended up, and this is no kidding, I said, I'm going to give up 2 hours of sleep per night until I can develop the processes so that I can relieve one of the, you know, a couple of the tasks that I was doing regularly. And it took me 3 months to really develop my first full set of processes. And it was 3 months. I was like a zombie because I mean, I had barely any sleep, but I got it done. And what was cool about it was once I got it done, I hired two virtual assistants to learn my processes and start fulfilling that for me. And within about 2 months after I had hired them to do it, and that really freed up some of my time. It was the start of freeing up my time. We developed Semantic Mastery. My company, my coaching company, developed our first information product from the training that I developed for my virtual assistants to delegate these processes. And that was our kind of the product that we launched to put us on the map. It's called Syndication Academy. And we still sell that product today, as a matter of fact. So it was really interesting to see how using processes and, you know, systematizing and taking yourself out of the equation can help you to, you know, free up time to build and develop your business further. And since that time, it's incredible because in my own organization, I've really streamlined my own organization to the point where I only have a couple of full-time assistants and we handle, I've got a, my own agency, Big Bamboo Marketing. We only have a handful of clients, really good clients that I've had for years, but I focus a lot of my time on my coaching group, and we have a done for you services organization where we actually sell or fulfill the type of services that we teach in our training. And we've got, you know, close to 30 employees now mm-hmm. that we've all trained using the processes that I've developed over the years. So it's an incredible system.
Huh. Wow. And it just proves the point that if you had not built those systems, none of this would have happened.
That's correct.
Right. It took the paradigm shift. Well, I'm really cool. That's cool to hear that story. Because a lot of people, they think they understand it intellectually, but they don't actually put forth the work. And, you know, that's a lot of lost sleep,
yeah.
2 hours less sleep a night for several months. But in the end, it was worth it. Right. So now I'm sure you're getting 8 hours of sleep a night now, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Well, close six, good six, but yeah.
Okay. Well, six, I'll take that. Six for an entrepreneur is pretty good. Well, cool. So right now, your business is focused more on coaching, training, and I'm going to ask kind of a macro question. What has changed in the world of digital marketing in the last 5 years that was working that isn't working now? Like, what have the big shifts been?
Well, that's a great question, especially with in the search engine optimization world, which is what I've been focused on primarily. Although, like I said, SEO has morphed into so much more than just manipulating Google via, you know, keywords and backlinks, which is what a lot of people assume is search engine optimization. And that's the biggest shift is that, you know, 5 years ago, it was really about keyword optimization and trying to really focus in on particular search keywords or search queries and trying, and there's ways that you could manipulate pages to get them to rank for specific keywords and search queries. And that, you know, it used to be where if you ranked number one for a keyword, that was gold, you know, like that your troubles were over, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, it's much more complex now. It's not nearly as easy to manipulate Google as it used to be. And that's because the, you know, Google's algorithms got so much smarter and they've been trying to combat people like me, right? They've been trying to fight SEOers, SEOs like myself and trying to prevent manipulation. And so how have they done that is the key. And one of the things is they now, the algorithm now focuses so much more on what we call ART, which is activity, relevance, trust, and authority. And that means like this, one of the primary ranking signals now for getting a website to rank or a page to rank for that matter is the type of traffic that it receives, like from real valid users. So instead of like going out and just creating content that is stuffed with keywords, that doesn't work anymore. In fact, that can actually get you in trouble. Or building a whole bunch of backlinks, getting a bunch of other websites to link to you, which used to work really well. Now Google actually looks for, you know, activity to the page, like real live visitors. It tracks to know if people are visiting the page. And if they're not, then it will demote that page in the search results because it's not giving the Google searcher what it wants. If people aren't visiting and engaging with the content on the page, then it knows that it's not really satisfying that desire or that search query, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest shifts, primarily the biggest shift. And it's been interesting to try to have to adapt our business model from becoming what we used to do, which was a way to just kind of figure out loopholes to exploit, to now really creating good content and it's stuff that people engage with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Well, what's the acronym again? He said it's ART. What are the words, letters stand for?
Activity, relevance, trust, and authority.
Trust, authority. Okay, well, let's go through an example. Let's say that I own a law firm and I want to get found online. what would you recommend doing to get the activity, relevance, trust, and authority for a law firm?
Well, for a law firm, that's not one area that I'm specialized in.
Let's say electrician. What would you do?
One of the things that you should be doing is, and we talked about this just briefly before we got started, was reputation marketing is really important. So for example, and that's one of the primary things that you can do to start kind of ignite this art of art, as we call it, right? So what I mean by that is, like I mentioned before, just being at the top of Google used to be like the Holy Grail. But now it's no longer the case. And so in most of your audience, that if they're local business owners, whereas they serve a local community as their customer base, they probably are aware that when people do a search on Google, whether it's on their desktop or laptop or on their phone, if it's got local intent, Google's going to show maps at the very, very top, right? Like maybe underneath some ads, but there will be the maps pack, which we call the three pack. And being in that number one position used to be the Holy Grail. However, now if you're in the number one position, but you don't have any reviews or you've got poor reviews, like so a low star rating or no star rating, then even if you're in number one position, oftentimes Google users or internet users, online searches have become a lot savvier in the last many years. And they'll skip over that to go to the one that may be below that has multiple reviews and four plus star views, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important, number one, to build up a reputation. It used to be where you do the SEO and then you worry about reputation. In my opinion, now it's more about that they're all kind of really interconnected, to where you should be worrying and proactively trying to build your reputation, number one, so that you can lead with that in your marketing. You can stand out among the search results as somebody that has a good reputation, so people will naturally gravitate towards your listing. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two is to have a website and content that's engaging. Now, as you said, let's just use the lawyer example. I don't know how many people want to go read a bunch of lawyerly type of blog posts, but there's things that people can do that a lawyer can do that can add content to the website that people will engage with, like maybe helpful cute questions and answers, like what to expect if it's a traffic court case or something like that, what to expect in this type of, for a speeding ticket, what things like that, things that people would be curious about, so that when somebody actually lands on that page, and it can be in video format, audio format, text format, or all three, right? And that's one of the things, like what, you could multi-purpose a podcast like what we're doing now. You've got the video feed running right now. Mm-hmm. It can be ripped and turned into just the podcast. It can be transcribed and turned into a blog post or added into multiple blog posts, right? So there's a way to create content is very easy to do now. You can, in my opinion, if you do a video, that can be multi-formatted to so many different things that now you can create, so many different blog posts or questions and answer posts type things that can be added to a website, so that when somebody's doing a search and they land on the site, they're going to engage with the site. They'll click through, they'll spend time on the site. That's all things that Google tracks as engagement signals. Mm-hmm. So like what they call time on site, scroll depth. So in other words, when somebody scrolls down a page, if they scroll all the way to the page, if a high percentage of the visitors that land on a page scroll down the page, that's a great engagement signal to Google, and it shows that people are engaging and consuming the content. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. So for the electrician who's overwhelmed with all of this, because it all sounds great, you learned it yourself. Do you recommend others go about and try to figure this all out themselves, or do you recommend they find an agency or get training, or what is the best way to kind of do this to your business?
Great question. Yeah. So one of the things that, we teach marketing. So we get a lot of people that come to us that want to learn how to do everything themselves. Right. And so one of the things that we do as a company, Semantic Mastery, is we really push learning how to delegate work and setting up systems. And in fact, I was telling you this prior to our call now, in our mastermind, which is our highest level coaching group, we send a book out every month to our new members for the first 6 months that they're members, and Work the System is the first book we send out. And no kidding, to all of our new members. And it's because too many people come to us and they want to try to be the do-it-yourselfers for everything. And I get it. I've been there. So when it comes to a business owner, most business owners, I don't recommend that they be the ones to learn how to do the stuff. Many are still going to want to do it. So if that's the case, then yes, you can learn how to do it. But the best recommendation is to either find an agency, but I would recommend more of a consultant instead of an agency. What I mean by that is more of a a local guy. If you're a local business, I would recommend finding a local consultant, you know, that is a smaller agency, or kind of, you know, a one-man show, maybe with some assistance or something, as opposed to a big box agency. The reason why is because a big box agency is going to treat you more like a commodity. You're just another stream of revenue. And I found, and there may be some good ones out there. I know I'm painting with a broad brush, but what I found is most big agencies, they have like boxed services that, and I know from being a consultant and running, you know, managing multiple clients over the course of my career, that I think marketing packages should be customized to every specific business. In other words, there should be a custom marketing package developed for what that business owner needs. Mm-hmm. So I know that smaller agencies or consultants will typically create marketing proposals and plans around what the business actually needs, as opposed to just saying, hey, you fit into this package or you fit into that package, which I found not to be nearly as effective. So number one is, if you're going to hire somebody, what I recommend is hiring kind of a smaller agency, or unless it's a boutique agency, which caters specifically to your business vertical, in which case they have stuff because they know they deal specifically with that business vertical. They know what works for that type of business. Mm-hmm. And that's a different story. If that may be a big agency, but if they deal specifically with that type of vertical, then that's a different story, because they're really plugged into what works for that type of that market, right? Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Number two, find a good service provider that can fulfill, like a third party, a vendor essentially, that can do, if you're going to learn how to do the marketing yourself, I don't recommend that you're the one that's actually executing all the marketing. Maybe understand the components and how to piece them together, and find a third party service provider, a vendor essentially, that can fulfill them for you. You just kind of manage it, right? So it's almost like a general contractor managing subcontractors. You just kind of say, okay, well, I know I need this, this, and this, and I need them in this order. So I've got somebody that can fulfill that for me. I can manage that. That's a much less expensive way than hiring a consultant or an agency to do it, if you know how to put the pieces together, right? That's key. But lastly, you could always hire somebody in-house that you train to do the marketing. And it doesn't have to be an employee that actually sits in an office. It could be somebody as a virtual employee, which is what all of our employees are. I don't have a single employee that works in an office that we own or manage. You know, we don't rent any space or anything. But all of our employees are essentially virtual employees. They work online. And that's another great way to do it, because it's much less expensive. Plus, you provide that employee the opportunity to work from home. And as long as they're able to produce results, then that, you know, they should be worth their weight in gold.
Hmm. Okay, before we get to the next questions, Bradley, because I got a few more hot ones on my list, I need to thank our sponsor for today's podcast, which is Trainual. I personally recommend them to everyone who is using Google Drive right now, or using Dropbox. They really want to move to the next level in terms of managing their documentation. It's really the simplest documentation software I've found. So I recommend that my clients go there. The best link to go to is workthesystem.com/trainual, and that's spelled TRAINUAL. And plus, I've got a special connection with them because they're local to where I live. I know the team, great team. They've got a great software and they are growing fast, due to the quality of their work. Again, workthesystem.com/trainual. That's TRAINUAL. All right. So Bradley, I got to kind of change gears a little bit, kind of getting off the digital marketing topic. I wanted to ask you about partnerships, because a lot of the companies that I work with, they get stuck here with this idea they want to grow. They can't grow beyond the hours they work. And you found a way to actually have three other partners. You have four people working together, all partners. How did that happen? How did you form it? And maybe you can't go into the details, but how does it function healthy?
Well, great question. And you know, I've got four other partners, so it's all of us. It makes a total of five. And
oh, wow.
As I mentioned before, when I had joined that high level mastermind, and I kind of founded or started hosting a weekly accountability meeting, it was my four partners that now they're partners, but at the time we were just meeting on a weekly basis, and we were the ones that were always communicating and sharing about things that were working. So my partners, each one of us owns and operates our own marketing business outside of Semantic Mastery. Mm-hmm. So we came together because we all have expertise in different fields. And that's what I think is the key, is to find other people where you're weak, find people that are strong in that area. And if you can create a partnership that way, that is a match made in heaven. Now, partnerships can be very challenging. I've had a number of them over my entrepreneurial career that have failed, have dissolved, and sometimes, you know, in a not so pretty fashion. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs have experienced the same type of thing. This has been very successful for us. We, what's interesting is our partner, the five of us in total, only two of us are in the U.S. My other three partners are international. One's from Austria, one's in Costa Rica, and one's in Argentina. And so it's really fun because the internet has made the world a smaller place, and we just meet virtually. Once a year, we get together in person, but we've been meeting virtually since 2013, and or really since 2012. But I found that it's enabled us to grow because we each have strengths in different areas of the digital marketing world mm-hmm. that we can apply as a whole. And collectively, we have a lot of knowledge that we can share with our students. And I think that's really the key, is to find, like, for example, we teach in our mastermind, and so some of our students that some of our students are really, or our members, I should say, some of our members are really good at fulfilling, like doing the nitty gritty, rolling up their sleeves and getting things done as far as doing the work, like whether it's SEO work or content marketing, whatever. But they suck at selling in order, like, so they find it difficult to go out and find marketing clients. But there's other people in our group that are really good at finding marketing clients and selling, but they're not so good at executing the work. So that right there is an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity for those two people to partner, and they're together, their business would grow much faster than if they tried to do them individually, because they're really weak in one spot, if that makes sense. So it's a matter of finding your identifying your weakness and delegating that, or partnering with somebody that has a strength where you are weak. And that's where the partnership, I think, can bloom.
So then what about long term though? So you've come together, strengths and weaknesses, and you kind of magnetize, you get a contract going, you start to work together. But over the long haul, how do you keep it healthy, you know, years and years into the future?
Great question. My answer to that would be meet regularly. We meet on a weekly basis for an hour to 90 minutes every Tuesday. We have our corporate meetings all virtually, just like you and I are meeting now. And something I can see on your shelf in the background there, Traction by Gene Wickman is a great, or Gino Wickman, I think it is, a great, great book. And that methodology that we've applied to our business about 6 quarters ago, so it's about a 90-day deal. And we apply that. And so we've been actually, I think, like I said, it's been about a year and a half. We're in our sixth quarter now of applying Traction, and we follow that. And it's really helped us to identify who we are, what we want to do as a corporation, as an organization, and what our roles are. They call it one neck to choke. Like, we each have our own separate areas that we manage. And so we're responsible for that. And it's really helped us. And I think that's the key, not necessarily employee operating systems that they teach in that book, although I think it's great, but it's communication, meeting on a regular basis and communicating, and not being afraid to express, you know, challenges or you know, weaknesses or areas that you think need improvement. It's really is truly about honest communication, in my opinion. I think it's the only way it works.
That's good. I'm glad it's working out for you. With that many players, sometimes it can get complex. Yes. I would think.
Very much so.
You found a way to make it work. And it sounds like you also had kind of a vetting process. Wasn't on purpose, but just the opportunity to work with each other for a series of months first, not in a partnership, just to test each other out. And that was kind of like the dating period seemed like that was kind of important as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I would recommend not jumping right into bed with somebody as a full blown partner and, you know, starting a corporation and all that. But if there's any way that there's like potential for two people to partner up on something, maybe do it through a joint venture agreement first to kind of, like you said, test the waters before going through the hassle of setting up a corporation and all that kind of stuff. I think that's a better way to go. Mm-hmm.
So looking ahead, because you know, we talked a little bit about how you differentiate yourself, right? Your company is different because all of you all also have your own agencies. So you train people about marketing, but you have your own agencies, which is making you different. What's going to make you different as you move forward? Because digital marketing and digital marketing training is competitive. How do you stay at the top?
Well, because we have to continue to get results for our clients in the real world, as opposed to, as I've said before, you know, a lot of, unfortunately, in the information product space, there's a lot of people that just sell products. They just sell theory, really. We can't afford to just sell theory because we have to produce client results for clients, as well as, you know, some of us have our own businesses that we need to produce results for outside of just our agencies as well. And so, you know, we have to remain on the cutting edge or else we fall behind. And as your audience, I'm sure, you know, a lot of this can be overwhelming. And that's why I think it's important to either have continuing education going on, either for you or somebody in-house that's going to manage this for you, or to hire somebody like a consultant that will stay on top of this stuff, because it is changing all the time. It's evolving all the time in the SEO world, especially, or just digital marketing in general. And so I think, you know, having somebody that has the desire to want to stay on top of it is important. And then like staying, as we have mentioned before, you know, the fact that we each have our own clients to answer to, like we're held accountable in our own businesses. And that's what gives us the ability to be able to teach properly, because we have to figure this stuff out and produce results.
So maybe you can speak to this a little bit, because we talked about this before we got online here, is this idea of reputation management as opposed to kind of after the fact trying to prevent problems in your reputation. A lot of clients I work with do really good work, but I feel like they're not really getting the most bang for their buck out of their work, because no one knows they do good work. They don't actually put it into all the different channels that you probably know about. So let's just say you're a business owner and you do good work. Let's say you have a hair salon. What are the different areas you should actually be putting that information out there to do good reputation management?
It's a great question. And you're right. There's too many businesses, I think, that aren't proactive about their reputation online. Mm-hmm. So reputation management, that's a reactive business model, right? So like, in other words, if you need a reputation manager, it's probably because some issue has come up, like a negative review or a ripoff report or something, to where somebody searches the brand name of the business, that, you know, some negative stuff comes up. And that's terrible. It's awful. But one of the best ways to prevent that from happening is to be proactive about building up your reputation. Mm-hmm. And in using that in your marketing, leading your marketing with that. So how do you do that, right? That's the $1 million question. There are a number of services out there, like subscription-based services, that can help to kind of automate and streamline the process of soliciting reviews from customers. Mm-hmm. And as a hair salon, for example, that's a type of business, what we would call a storefront business. So people come into that business location. So, you know, you could ask people at the point of sale, wherever they're paying for it, to subscribe to a newsletter or to scan with a QR code from their mobile device, like, you know, something like a little flyer card or something that's sitting on the counter, and that ask them, hey, leave us a review. You know, we'll give you $5 off your deck. You don't incentivize good reviews. You just incentivize reviews, period. So like, mm-hmm. whether it's good, bad, or ugly, you just say, you know, we can give you, in some states, you got to be careful about that, but you should know these things about your own state regardless. But most of the time you can just incentivize a review and say, you know, sign up to our newsletter, scan this QR code or whatever, and leave us a review. And the thing is, the systems, a lot of these automated systems will send them a notification via a text message or an email or both that ask them to leave you a review. And it can route that review to wherever you want it to go, or it can go through an auto rotation. So for example, Facebook pages, great places to get reviews, Google Maps listings, mm-hmm. Yelp listings, you know, any one of the major high traffic, and not any one, but all of them combined, you should be proactively trying to build your reputation on, because there's traffic in all of those locations. In other words, there are online traffic, right? That in all of those locations. So you want to have your reputation presence there, showcased on each one of those platforms. So mm-hmm. in my mind, the big three would be Facebook, Google, and Yelp. But there are different, you know, like for example, if you're a preschool, you'd probably want like care.com or something like that. You'd want to have a really good reputation on there as well. So there are some industry specific directories that you also want to have mm-hmm. presence on.
And one thing before I lose the thought, for those of you listening to this who have not been proactive about this, I don't know if it's because of being too shy about it, but I'm working with a dental client right now, and they instituted a new thing where after every single time they work with someone on their teeth, they just ask them, do you mind giving us a video testimonial with how your experience was? And they found like 9 out of 10 was fine doing the video. And then they got to pick out of hundreds of videos what were the best ones. And it's really helped grow their business just by asking the question. Most people are fine doing it. I think most people just, they don't take the extra 2 minutes to do it, and they're really hurting their online reputation by not actually asking the question.
Agreed.
Well, I know we're running out of time here. What's one thing I didn't ask you about that I should have that you want to leave the audience with?
Great question. Probably what's one thing that somebody can do right now to get better results? And I would say right now, remarketing. And on Facebook, they call it retargeting. Google, they call it remarketing. But that's where I'm sure your audience knows, if you go to Amazon, for example, and you view a product, but you don't buy it, you're going to see that ad everywhere you go on the online. You're going to see that product ad on side, you know, sidebars of websites and things like that. That's called remarketing. It's because you visited it and you didn't convert. remarketing should be, I think, applied in this day and age. It is like the magic bullet, in my opinion. So somebody visits your webpage or any webpage for an offer and they don't convert, you could follow them around and not in a non-obtrusive way, but it's kind of like, you know, email. If you don't want to spam people's email boxes, but if you have a banner ad essentially following them around on the web to gently remind them that you're there, time and circumstance changes most people's mind and they will eventually most likely end up still needing the product or service that they didn't purchase the first time. So that just reminds them that you're there and it creates brand recognition. That's what we're talking about, reputation marketing. I think remarketing and retargeting is a great reputation marketing tool.
Yep. And it's cheap too.
Inexpensive. Yes, sir.
Very cheap. And it's already a pretty hot lead that you're following around. So it's definitely worth it. Well, cool. Well, that's a great tip. And that's a simple action step for those who are not doing that. Definitely do that. And so Bradley, where can people find you if they want more information?
Well, we got a welcome page set up for your audience. It's at semanticmastery.com/WTS for Work the System. So again, semanticmastery.com/WTS. We also host a weekly webinar series on YouTube. It's called Hump Day Hangouts. It's every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 hour long. It's 100% free. Anybody can come to our Hump Day Hangouts and post a question, and we answer them live on the webinar. And we just did episode 245 yesterday, so we've been doing it for about 4 years now, and we really, truly enjoy that quite a bit.
Cool. Yeah, well, very good. Well, everybody, thanks for checking us out today at the podcast. Next week, I'll be sharing with you another guest like Bradley, an expert or someone else who's got a tip, a trick, a book, maybe one of my previous clients, but somebody to help you take your business to the next level, to help you to make more and work less. And if you want to watch these things live, join us here on Facebook, like the page, share the page. It's at Work the System. And if you want a copy of that book behind me, Sam Carpenter's best-selling book, and you want it signed, leave us a review. Leave us a review on iTunes or anywhere else that you're watching this and send a screenshot of that review to info@workthesystem.com. And we'll be picking a name out of a hat once a week and mailing you a copy of that signed book. Again, thanks everybody, and we'll catch you next week.